What were you gonna say?
Look at my tits! Look at my tits! I paid for these! I want someone to look at my tits!
Okay.
Now it's garbage.
Another movie night. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I am Scott.
And I'm Joe.
You are Joe. And today, we are talking trash.
Talking trash.
Talking trash, indeed. This is our show to review, spoil, debate, crap on, and give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, and the much debated and often forgotten flicks of the internet, all while asking the question, is this the worst movie ever made? And if not, what is? Because here on the show, we believe you truly can't review a film unless you know what the worst is. And today, we have one person to blame, and that would be Beck over at This Girl Loves Horror on Instagram. And we
hey,
blame
Beck.
You. We blame you, buddy. I love getting recommendations of things that we should do on the show. And we are, because of this recommendation, we picked a whole bunch of movies for this month of exercise films. Because we were told to watch the Tubi movie. You know, here's the thing. Let's just get this out of the way. Tubi is back on our podcast. Tubi. And you know it's a Tubi night because you know it's a shitty movie when your movie starts off with an ass wipe commercial.
I'm not picking it up. You pick it up.
I'm not picking it up.
Well, somebody's got to pick it up.
I'll pick it up. They're clean. Cause my hand is clean. Oh yeah, I'm Charmin clean. That's how I know they're clean.
And we've talked about this on the show a couple times where the commercials become funnier than the movie. It's going to be one of those nights again. Unfortunately, it was not, because we just kept getting the same gambling commercial over and over and over.
Yeah, it was bad. I had to keep muting it because it was just bad.
So tonight we are talking about 2023's Murder Size. Yep, this has got a 3.8 out of 10 on IMDb from only 683 reviewers. It's directed by husband and wife duo Paul Ragsdale and Angelica D'Alba. D'Alba.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah, sure. What the hell? They started a production company together called A&P Productions, and they've created five films together, centered around action horror with 80s and Mexican themes, and quote unquote female empowerment. They do the writing, directing, and producing, and they have four films besides this movie, and the names of those movies are Slasherette Party, Streets of Vengeance, Cinco de Mayo, and La Soldadera, Cinco de Mayo. Yeah, and that, you know what? Nothing says a husband and wife team like a male fantasy flick.
Is this a male fantasy flick? Because
you're telling me that a husband and wife get together, he gets a bunch of softcore and porno stars and does overboard sexual scenes.
Well, maybe she's into it as well.
I looked into this couple a little bit. I read a Fangoria article with them talking about them.
Oh, wait, no, can I just interrupt real quick? Is she an actress in this movie?
No.
No, okay.
No, they do everything else.
I see. Okay.
They have like this whole history, right, that I looked into where they both grew up being told that they can't watch certain things. I think we all kind of went through this.
Yeah.
I was told I couldn't watch certain things. And the same thing happened with this couple. And she was introduced to horror movies through him. She watched some horror movies, but she wasn't allowed to see like certain things. And he introduced her into all of this, and they started to want to make films. And she like does all the things properly that he doesn't. But what it sounds like to me is that she was introduced to a lot of these horror films more and more. Like, he wants to reintroduce them, like, basically, like, what you and me do, where we share things with each other throughout our lives. So what's interesting to me here is I can't imagine her being introduced into horror. Apparently, she saw Halloween, and she was like, I get it. This is what you could do with a small budget. And nothing says that, like, murder side. What is this called?
Murder size. And I have to point out that our friend Beck wrote, this girl loves horror. She usually will put like a review, like a rating, like what she gives it out of 5. And this doesn't have a rating.
She gave it a 0?
I mean, there's no rating. I think she was just done.
She was just done?
Because
usually she gives axes like
Right, yeah. And she just says, I didn't laugh once. I just cringed. There's way too many stupid tits and sex stuff. It was like a cheesy porno that had been stretched out into full-length film.
You know what? And to shock her, we laughed a bunch of times in the first half of this movie.
Yes, I think that I laughed a little too much. I think more than I should have. But I think because I was just like so like in the state of mind of what is happening in this movie.
Yeah, it took you a couple seconds because you were like, oh, Jesus, this is a porno.
Like, I think that I was thinking, okay, this is like one of those movies where they just want to show gratuitous boobies and that's what this is going to be, just for no reason. Like, you know, any other movie that we watch on Talking Trash, they usually, you know, we did TNA month, so...
Yeah, you know. Which wasn't as gratuitous as this movie was.
You know, it's funny, it's not.
No, our TNA month basically wasn't anything even close.
I mean, except for the, what was that? The Dragon Island or something? The Dinosaur Island.
Oh, Dinosaur Island. And yeah. We watched the edited version.
Oh, good lord.
I know, we watched the one that didn't have the sex scenes.
Oh, dang.
Because I can't find it.
And thank goodness.
Yeah, instead here, we were bombarded with just a lot of revolting sexual situations. And this makes me think about a movie that we watched that was really bad. That's what cracks me up is people don't know what movies we've seen the worst films ever. And one night, while just me and Joe were just laying on the couch, we put on a movie called Gutter Balls. And this, now everybody who thinks that murder side is like bad, I dare you to watch Gutter Balls because it's the same type of filmmaking, you know, low budget, but that one was seriously disgusting.
Okay, for the
unnecessarily
record,
just.
I am not recommending that you watch
no,
that movie.
No, but I wanted to put it out there and say we've seen things. So
yeah.
To me. Murder size again is one of those situations where I go, you know, this could have been worse.
It could have been worse.
This is the problem here. This is a tale of two movies. I think it's a necessary thing to talk about when we talk about certain movies. A lot of movies that fail are because of one or two things, right? Like two major things, I think. One of those being the part of the movie that you leave on is bad. So it sours anything that came before it. That's a major thing. If a movie doesn't end or its last half loses that first half's idea, it's just a wash.
Mm-hmm.
And another big thing is, too, when you're making a comedy, the way to fail is not be funny. Or those jokes just don't land. Like, is it making you laugh? Is that the only reason you're doing it? It has to make everybody laugh. You have to do something that you know is going to touch. And a lot of people cleverly try to do jokes on every type of, you know, on every play field. Like, you want to get something for everybody. And that's a clever filmmaker. So then you got movies like this where you're like, I'm not sure if these jokes, you know, like it's, I think this is touching on both those. I think the worst movies ever. I always say, if you're going to see a bad movie, I think to me, you know, it's so easy to go to horror and stuff like that because there's so much of it. Mm-hmm. No, the worst movies are comedies. When a comedy is bad, it is very bad because it's all hinging on that comedy aspect. And if it fails, you got nothing on your hands.
Yeah, it's like a crickets, you know, yes. No one's laughing. The jokes fall flat and you got nothing.
Yeah, it's like a Jamie Kennedy movie, you know, it's just like, and I hate to say that because I know there's some people out there like his Scream character and we've seen some things. He's done some funny things, you know, here and there, but there's a reason a lot of his movies are on the bottom list. Mm-hmm. Because when it's not funny, it comes off as desperate, and it gets, like, embarrassing.
Yeah, we have done Son of the Mask on this.
Yes, we have.
We have not seen Malibu's Most Wanted yet.
No.
It's definitely
maybe one day parodies.
One day a talking trash movie, but I feel like this movie knew what it was going to be. It was a spoof movie. Supposed to be, like, homage to 1980s, you know, like Death Spa and, you know, things like that.
I guess.
You know, like old school, like 80s slasher size movies. And I feel as though there's so much more they can have done besides just wardrobe and big hair to make it feel like that.
Yeah.
Also, it was filmed in not that like grainy 80s type thing. I think they could have filmed it that way just to give it like a little bit more feeling.
Yeah, it's even questionable if the movie is supposed to be taking place in the 80s.
Well, 100% is because they literally reference Ronald and Nancy Reagan 20 times.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, now I get. Okay, I just thought that it was a joke about the character living in the. Mentally living in the past.
No, they're technically supposed to be in the 80s. I mean, their wardrobe and everything suggests it.
Their
old Reebok sneakers and the big hair.
I figured it was just because they were trying to make retro workout tapes. I don't know. I guess my mind didn't even connect to this. Now that you said it, okay, yeah, I completely see it.
Yeah, it's supposed to be in the 80s. I mean,
I couldn't even get my head wrapped around that because it didn't feel it at all.
No, the nails that they had, the makeup, the piercing, the facial piercings that were going on.
But then one of our main characters, she looks like Amy Winehouse, so it doesn't feel very 80s to me.
Well, they tried. They tried with the outfits.
Some of the other ones, she has like full tattoos and
she doesn't look like the 80s at all. Yeah, it was a little too modern. Yeah, but it was supposed to be set in the 80s. But the whole point of this was that there is a director and a small film crew shooting a workout video. But here's the thing. You couldn't like rent out a dance studio for a couple hours. Like how much budget did they have? Because this is in some rinky-dink two-room office building. It's like not even in an office building. It's like an office suite.
We spent a little bit of our time trying to figure out where they filmed this. Now, this movie was only made for $10,000.
Okay.
You know what?
It's fine for $10,000.
For $10,000?
Yeah.
Not so bad.
Not bad at all.
I mean, look, it seems like they probably knew somebody that was like a realtor or something. Because it feels like they used like an office building that was up for rent. And it feels like they filmed the whole movie in this little office building. Like this one, like one of those small offices and you only have like a couple rooms.
Yeah, and I feel like they pushed all the furniture aside and changed it up a little bit.
Well, but I feel like there was no furniture.
I think that they did have furniture. I think that they filmed it at night because someone let them sneak in.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
The lighting. Now, as a director, I feel like this director really either just took a crap and didn't care about the lighting, or he really had not a lot of options.
Because, I think there was not a lot of options.
Because they probably shut down the power at night, and they didn't want to get caught filming in there. But I have to say that the lighting in this movie was just terrible. Terrible.
Well, it went off and on. There was multiple spots in the movie that are, like, when they were doing the aerobics stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It looks decent. It looks a little HD. It looks like they had a little bit like more lighting. Everything looked a little crisper. But then when you get to the other rooms and it's supposed to be like these weird scenes, like of people doing shady things, it's always filmed in the dark almost.
Mm-hmm.
And you could still see them, but the lighting is very... It's not the best for the people. It does not bring out the best in anybody in this movie.
I made mention of this with case in point. Adult film star Ginger Lynn is in this, who I've actually seen in person. I actually met her when I was we were in Las Vegas at Joe Bob's Jamboree, and I will say that she's pretty attractive still, and I think that looking at her in this movie with this lighting really did not do anything for her looks at all. It was not flattering. I felt bad for her because they put the lighting like almost on the side of her face. It made every little can't come out.
It casted shadows.
Yeah, casted on all shadows.
Of her. Yeah.
It was very strange. And I was like, oh man, this ain't right for poor Ginger Lynn, you know?
And I would say for every character, every actress in this movie, it didn't do them anybody any favors.
No.
Even the main actor, who is supposed to look like, you know, that kind of wormy guy. So it kind of works. But it is very odd. Well, because I wanted to say, the first half, the reason I set up that whole thing about how a movie in the second half loses it, because that's exactly what happens in this movie. This first half actually has some funny-ass parts in it. And I was like, okay, this is a parody, and this stuff is actually kind of funny. And it's mostly because of two characters in particular.
Yeah.
And that would be Candy. And that would be, I believe, what's his name? Chuck?
Chuck.
Yeah, Candy and Chuck.
Oh my God, does that mean you're horny right now?
Oh yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Can't you tell?
I have no idea what horny looks like.
Are you serious? You look like a stud.
Oh my God, that's what my mom tells me too.
Candy wants to party with Chuck. And I want to show you my party hats. You want to party with Candy?
Wait, dude, we can't do this.
No one's gonna catch us, dummy.
Yeah, that's what they all say. And the next thing you know, bam, they're back to PAing. I'm a filmmaker now, Candy. I can't just go around sleeping with actresses.
Ew!
These two people are pretty damn hilarious.
Yeah, they're the best in the movie, for sure.
At first, you were just like, what is, why, like, I was laughing very hard at this actress playing Candy. And you were like not on board until a couple minutes went in of her acting.
It took me a minute.
Because she's full on going for it as a joke and doing it, knowing exactly what makes it funny. Like doing it like times 11 in her acting performance. And it really worked. And the whole premise here, I guess this to set up the movie or talk about the movie a little bit. The opening of this movie actually starts with a woman in a shower. Right. And there's a woman in a shower who
that's like a horror movie trope. So we got that.
Oh, this is more than a horror movie trope. This is something at a Kentucky Fried Movies feel around vision. I mean, this is crazy. This is just a girl waxing her boobs with soap, not cleaning any other bit at all.
No,
just in a shower, you know, doing the wax on, wax off. And of course, we just watch the whole thing, which I mean, this is how the movie starts. So at least the movie's telling you. Yeah, we know what this is.
I was like, yeah, from minute one, I was like, okay, this is definitely one of those films that's like, it feels like it's shot in like on a cell phone.
Yeah, it does feel like that. And that's what made me laugh when I knew this was a husband and wife directing. I was like, yeah, the wife isn't here for this moment. I can't imagine unless the wife is down for this.
Let me tell you something.
Because you cheered when you saw this.
I was very vocal about my complete and utter like woohoo of this scene,
because you went, look at them things,
look at those honkers, they were huge. I was like, yes, this is gonna be one of those movies. And I'm telling you, if we were a husband and wife directing team, my ass would
you would
be,
feel weird.
I would know
you would be weirded out if I was filming this and like, yeah, get in the right angle. You'd be like,
no,
this
I'd tell
weird.
You to get out and let me film it.
Yeah, that makes more sense though.
Yeah,
but I mean, It does feel like, you know, we talked about this with Andy Sidaris.
Yeah.
So Andy Sidaris famously also had his wife as his producing partner.
Mm-hmm.
And you can clearly tell this is a guy going through a midlife crisis, getting a bunch of
porn stars,
beautiful women, yeah, like all playmates.
Playmates, yeah.
I don't think they were porn stars, but playmates.
Yeah.
And he just put them in naked situations that did not even make sense. Like two people just sitting in a hot tub, two women having a full conversation with their boobs out.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel natural at all, but you know this is a fulfillment of some sort for this man.
Yeah.
And I think the same felt like this right out of the gate for this scene, because I was like, this is a husband and wife duo. You know, this is a weird one. See, but you know what? If they get their kinks, who knows? I don't really know.
Well, yeah,
maybe knows? There is something, but.
But they put a you know, an adult film star in their movie anyway. So it's like they were just going for it.
Yeah.
And it's like, I feel like whether or not he was trying to, you know, fulfill his whatever, kind of fantasy, fine.
It just feels weird.
But the fact that, you know, these two worked on this movie together, I feel like that just makes it okay in some weird way, you know? Because, like, if he was doing this on his own and, you know, she wasn't a part of it, I'd be like, okay, this is a little bit extra.
Maybe so.
But, you know.
Do you think it has more of, like, this is the conversation? This is how I see it. All right, honey, we want people to see this movie. We want to get it out there. We've got to get it known. Got to put some boobs in there.
Yes, that.
Got to put some TNA.
And I
know just the women I want to be in this movie.
Well, I'm telling you, if I was in this situation with my husband, I would be like, yeah, we need to get a very beautiful woman with huge jugs, and we have to put her in the shower, and it has to be a complete and utter parody of all these 80s slasher films, because they do this in so many 80s slasher films, you know?
I would say... It's a weird conversation because, yeah, and definitely in slasher films, I feel like there is sex scenes and stuff like that, but I, for some reason, most of them don't feel as forced. I don't know how to explain it. Like, I'm thinking back and I'm like, you know, when you watch those scenes, you're like, okay, there's a woman gratuitously in the shower for no reason, but she is taking a shower. They set them up. This movie just shoots the body.
Oh, 100%. There's no rhyme or reason.
Just to say this. And we don't know who this person is. And in those other movies, at least they set up who those people are and why they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the opening of Jason Goes to Hell, which I always love to laugh about. They do it for a reason, because the whole movie is like mocking it and then saying out with the old.
Mm-hmm.
And with a new type of thing, which I know people hate it, but I kind of appreciate it. But they did it as a nod. We know what we're doing, and we're doing it on purpose. Here, it feels like, no, we got to get people in right off the bat. Like, this is all we're doing. Mm-hmm. We're just making sure guys who are watching this movie are happy.
You know, it's funny, too, because of the two of us, and I know that you are not that guy and you want to be respectful of me. Of the two of us, during this shower scene, I was the one that was cheering.
Well, I also think that there's a difference here. It's not okay for me to do it. It's okay for you to do it.
It's usually like a high five moment for us, because we're always like, yeah, there it is. Gratuitous boobies.
You cheered and I went, damn, those things are big.
It's like, wow, what honkers.
Yeah. And you're going for it. And you're allowed to. I tell everybody, like, she'll point it out. Because people are like, oh, you can't go look. And I said, are you kidding me? What? My wife would hit me on the shoulder and said, look at that.
Oh, my God. I'm the one that pisses off Gary, our bad movie night friend, every single time I point out tight pants on a man and that their ball hammock is on or something.
Like, I do it, too.
Though, I mean, yeah. He hates it. Hates it. And I'm always like, oh my God, look at that bulge. Look at those balls. They're hanging out. And I have to point it out.
Yeah.
I can't help it. Especially in 80s movies when they wore those ball hammock shorts and the tight, tight pants where their like balls are clenched in. I don't know how they did that.
Yeah. I don't understand guys and not knowing like, oh, look at how crazy that is. You know, if you could do it with women, you could do it with men. Like guys are so odd where they feel like they're not allowed to point it out. You know, it's not like it doesn't mean anything if you say, okay, that guy's got ninja toe. You know what I mean? Which, I'm sorry, that's what I call it. Ninja toe. You know, like, there's a whole one side going over there, and you're like, what the hell's happening there?
But
and,
our friends can't do that.
Oh, well,
like, I mean,
don't care.
Like, our friend Jared, his whole thing of, like, you know, what he says when this happens is, good Lord. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, look at those balls. They're huge.
It's... And we're going to get into it because I know next week is going to be all we're going to talk about.
Oh,
so
God.
I'm looking forward to next week's movie. Yeah, and here, of course, I think that if this was done, if this was like a film that someone's watching, like the scene that we're opening up on this in this movie where the woman's just watching and it cut to, oh, no, someone's actually making a movie or something like that, it would have been more clever.
Yeah.
But instead, it's supposed to be real. And it's so silly. It's just like,
it was pandering. It was like too much.
I think the problem here is it wants to be a parody, but it also wants to take itself serious once. Because this whole, there's a killer plot line. And the killer is called, the Strangler of Skid Row?
The Skid Row Strangler.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Skid Row Strangler. And they pose as cops. Everybody keeps saying that there's a killer out there, but it's two guys that just buddy up to go murder people.
Now, mind you, this girl that's showering, like, she hears, like, a noise of something falling, and she gets out of the shower. Why does she open the door again?
So she calls 911 instantly, saying she thinks someone's in her house. And when she's on the phone with 911, someone knocks at the door, and she hears something. She says to 911, give me a minute. Now, she thinks that someone's going to hurt her.
Right.
For some reason. We don't know why. But, of course, she's like, you know what? Hold on, 911. I forgot that I'm calling you because I was afraid for my life. I'm going to open the door. So she opens the door and there's two guys dressed like cops.
You know what's amazing about this scene? Is the fact that, number one, they only have like a couple of like little black patches
yes.
on their clothes. They don't have any shields on their clothes.
No.
Nothing to resemble cops at all. But the best part is, like, are these murderers just going door to door?
Yeah, I was wondering this too. I was like, how did they choose her? Because you think they would just find people on the street or something. No, they found this woman and it got her when she was showering.
There's just no rhyme or reason
no
to
rhyme
this
or reason.
Murder. It's and like they just knock on her door.
I also love that these two guys are the biggest guys ever. They're like two pro wrestlers. I had to look into them. I couldn't find any information. They look like wrestlers.
Yeah, there's
huge guys.
No trivia on IMDb about this movie, but like they're really big. One of them looks like Louis Guzman.
You said that. I was like, it's like Maui from Moana.
Like,
but been on a bender
yes,
for a
but
week.
If he had been like a real like live action character.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I got it. But so the cops come into her house and choke her out with her phone cord.
She calls, she tells 911. She gets on the phone with them and they're like, ma'am, what are you doing? And she's like, oh, thanks for sending the cops so quickly. That was so quick. It was only like a second.
It was a second.
And they go, don't open the door. Don't open the... And she just hangs up on him. And she gets murdered instantly.
But there's like literally no reasoning for this at all. Like, I mean, these two guys are going door to door and just killing people.
They're just going door to door.
What?
I mean, sometimes two guys just hang out and they just, you know, go belting.
Oh, like belting.
Yeah, so they...
They take off their belts and they strangle.
One takes off a belt and just strangles a girl. I mean, that's it. That's what they do. That's their thing.
Now, this woman has no connection to the rest of the characters in the movie. This is just an opening shot to show us what is going to be happening in this movie.
Kind of. To set up that there is a serial killer out there.
Okay, but then the movie completely diverts to something completely different.
You know what the shame is? Because if you're going to do a parody on slasher movies, especially of the genre that they're trying to talk about with the 80s, it's usually a mystery.
Yeah.
So they just threw the mystery out and they're going for something else. And I think we already had like that sour taste in our mouth. We're like, this is what this movie's going to be now. Okay. But we cut into the workout, what we were talking about before with all these women are doing a workout routine.
They're doing
while
a
being
videotaped
in what seems to be an office room. And what's weird about it is each one of them were set up to see like the oddities of the women that we are our main characters. And they're all completely different kinds of people. We have one that's like you can see is the main lead of this thing. She's the one doing the whole routine in the front.
So,
and then that's Candy. Candy.
Yeah.
Yes. Now bend on over and stretch those hamstrings. Oh, yeah. So good.
And then we have, there's one woman in a, what is a cross between a bikini and a wrestling outfit. It's not even a workout outfit whatsoever. And it doesn't look 80s at all. She's got tattoos all over her.
Wait, are you talking about the white outfit?
Yeah. That's,
okay, she was wearing a swimsuit.
A swimsuit. I said a bikini cross wrestling, which we find out she's a wrestler.
Yeah.
Hey, pole dancing does wonders. I teach classes at Golden Ventura. Helps me stay in shape for my wrestling matches.
You're a wrestler?
Yeah, oil, mud, jello, whatever. Gina was one of the judges.
What is this world coming to?
Want
to
see a move?
No, I don't. I said no. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a thing.
Her name is Cassandra in the movie. She really doesn't have much to do. But then we meet our main wholesome girl. See, there's always a bunch of like, you know, wild children, and then there's like the wholesome buttercup girl.
Yeah, and this is the clever moment because you know that this is the final girl.
Yeah, and can we talk about her name first of all? Her name is Phoebe in the movie, but her name is Kansas Bowling. She looks like Marsha Brady.
Yeah.
I'm uncomfortable with the choreography. Candy is showing her nether regions to the camera.
So
it's vulgar. We're not making a porn, are we? Well, it makes me uncomfortable.
This is what the audience wants, kid. I mean, they don't care about the exercises. I mean, they just want to wank the weasel. Pardon my French.
Well, I care about fitness. I care about the health of our children and the obesity rate in our country. We have a responsibility, just like the president says.
She's in a movie we absolutely hated on Shudder.
Yes.
That seems to be debatable. A lot of people seem to really enjoy it, but mm-hmm. we hated it. It was called, I believe, Silent Night.
Mm. No, it was Christmas, Bloody Christmas.
Oh, I wasn't even close. But yeah, it was about a killer android like Santa Claus.
I hated that movie.
A cool concept, but some of the worst screenwriting. And like, I don't even know if people were just making up their dialogue, but it was horrendous.
Yep. So we got her, and then we have we already mentioned Chuck, who is the best thing about the movie.
You know my name?
I love you. I got you.
Get out of the way. Fuck.
He's got a fanny pack. They totally went out of their way to make him look totally 80s.
He's very funny, and this actor is going for it. He doesn't mm-hmm. give a crap if he's making fun of himself, which is great, but he seems to be like the technician on the set. He yeah. does all the technical stuff.
We got Mikey, who is, I guess, he's the director. Then we got the cameraman. We have maybe way too many people for this tiny setting that we're in. But we do have this one girl. Her name is Adriana Ushiba. And she's playing Nikki.
This is the eyebrow.
She's the eyebrows.
Okay.
Nikki, what are you doing? You can't eat fast food. That cheeseburger is going to make you slow and heavy.
Don't worry about it. I'll burn it off, okay? I'm a stripper.
Do they allow you to eat burgers when you work the pole?
Freddie, that is so degrading.
I couldn't
unsee it.
I couldn't unsee it.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Like, it just, everything about her bothered me.
I have no... Of course, no problem with penciled eyebrows and all of that, but it was like they did it wrong.
It was almost like it was that, but then also they gave her these ridiculous eyelashes too. And you know, like when you're not a woman, but like
thank you,
chicks.
When I was a wee
when,
lass,
when chicks, you're a wee lass, wear like you know heavy eyeliner, and it's hard to like you know blink because it's so heavy makeup. I feel like she was struggling to blink. And I was like, all right, at that point, you need to take them eyelashes off.
Yeah, but so, yeah,
And everything about her was just, it just bothered me. I don't know why. But then we got Isabella. She's a kind of punker.
It's my youngest, Isabella. She needs something to focus on. I want to keep her away from her low-life street friends. And I want you to put her in the exercise video. Is that going to be an issue?
No, of course. Yeah. Oh, we'd be glad to have her. I mean, I can't wait to meet the young lady.
And then we have the cameraman who is the, again, a trope. He is the, the sexist pig. And the reason we have to point him out is because he has a sticker on his shirt that we also couldn't unsee. It's the production logo of the movie, the production team. And it's basically just a big sticker that they have put on his shirt. And we couldn't see it because we kept seeing it was peeling. And we were just like talking about it. But the movie knows that it was a joke.
I think
got to give them credit.
Yes.
They knew some of these things were funny.
See, we thought a lot of these things were like mistakes, you know, but then after like watching and thinking about this and seeing how things progressed, we're like, no, this is on purpose.
This was on purpose. It's so odd. And this is the clash of tones because the movie sometimes doesn't reference that some of these things are funny, like the lighting.
Mm-hmm.
There's one scene where you can tell they tried to change the lighting on the actress by putting a light down on the floor, but it made things even more awkward because it was doing a lens flare.
Yeah.
So it's like certain things they know, okay, this is funny, and we're actually putting it in here so we can have a joke later on about it, which is good on them, but a lot of the other things don't do that. Now, what is funny is, like we talked about, the Chuck guy wants to sleep with everybody, the electrician or the technician, whatever he is. He wants to sleep with everybody, all the cast of these women doing the workout video. And no one will give him a time of day, but the candy girl just plays up to him. And he's like, whoa, you know my name. You know, that whole thing. I'll buy you all the soda in the world, you know. And that's like a running joke with them. And that's actually, for some reason, it is kind of funny.
Well, this actress is Jessa Flux. Seems like she makes a lot of independent horror movies.
Yeah, a lot of them doing this.
Yeah. She has one called Debbie Does Demons.
Yes, I saw that.
Which I need to see. I mean, there's some stuff. There's some stuff on here. But she's got it.
Where, like, as we're introduced to the characters more, or the quote-unquote plot, are the main... I guess he's the director. Not the director, because this kid's supposed to be. But I guess the head producer is... Like, they're behind, for some reason, the whole thing is being filmed in one of these rooms that seems to be, like, maybe a waiting room for an office or a, what's that called when you go into the room with a client?
Like a conference room.
Yeah, thank you. Like a conference room, but it has a see-through wind, like, mirror.
Yeah.
And so they're on the other side, and we get our guy, our not Ron Jeremy producer guy, who is also kind of funny in this movie because I think he is seriously drunk while filming because he slurs his dialogue a lot and it is actually kind of funny.
I kill. Oh, we ain't going to the cops. Oh, help me, Jesus. What the hell are we gonna do?
Yeah, so he's that stereotypical, like, grease ball guy, you know, where he's got the wife beater with the open shirt on top and, you know, just the awful facial hair. And he just looks like a hot mess. He just looks like just the typical just worm, the nasty guy.
Yeah. And I think what happens is that the while they're doing the thing, the guys are virtually filming these women about to come out of their outfits a lot in certain things. And that pisses off the mousy one, the one that doesn't seem like she belongs in this setting. And she reacts.
Marsha Brady.
Yeah, you kept calling her Marsha Brady. She reacts wholesomely and says, cut, cut. Although she has no right to do that.
She's just one of the actresses. Now, here's the thing about when I say actress, they're supposed to be shooting a workout video.
Yeah, that's it. No one needs to talk except the main one.
But nobody is in sync with each other.
No.
Do you notice that?
Oh, of course.
It's so weird. I was like, well, aren't they supposed to be, like, you know, choreographed here?
Well, that's
what
the thing.
What is happening?
The producer guy, he says it straight up. Like, nobody watches this thing for anything. They don't want to work out. Guys watch these things.
Well, that's why they put Candy front and center, because she was wearing a white top with nothing underneath.
Yeah.
And her nipples were just shooting right in your freaking eyeballs. And I couldn't stop staring. Because every time, like, she was on screen, I was just like, boing. They were right there. And they did that on purpose because...
Yes.
But here's the thing. Her acting was so funny. Like, everything about her was good.
It took you a little bit to get used to it because it is very over the top and terrible.
Yeah.
But you slowly start realizing, oh, this is on purpose.
This on purpose, yeah. Yeah. I didn't think she was doing this silliness, you know.
It's bad.
Yeah, I didn't think she was doing this bad acting. I think that she was doing it because she was told to, and it was funny. But so we have this, you could tell that the wholesome girl, Marsha Brady, and she does look like Maureen McCormick in the Brady Bunch.
So. Yeah, She reminds me of that. Side. She reminds me of that actress from The Newsroom and Picard.
Oh no, Bug Eyes? No, she doesn't look
like
her.
That's what I thought.
Oh no, I don't like that actress. This girl was, she's cute. I think she was.
Well, she, I guess the running joke here is that she worked at a hot dog place in a mall, and she was hired because she has good work ethic. And for some reason, this guy hired her.
For your information, Candy, I got this job because Gino noticed my leadership skills while I was at work.
Don't you work at that corn dog place at the mall? Oh, I get it now. Gino saw you pumping up and down, making the lemonade, like, yeah, give it to me.
Maybe that's how you got this job.
I'm an actress, okay? I am just doing this because it's another stepping stone in my career. That's why I'm on the cover.
But then he does seem to want her to be the boss and put her in charge a lot.
So what's amazing about this character of Phoebe is the fact that she works at a hot dog place in the mall, but she's all about fitness. She wants America to be healthy.
Yep.
Her whole purpose on this set of this workout video is to show them that she cares about being healthy and exercising and being wholesome and not doing drugs and not, you know, being bad. And she's surrounded by literal strippers and she's the only one there that actually has a, you know, basic job.
Yeah.
Like they all have some kind of crazy job. And I'm still like baffled how she works at a hot dog place and she's all about fitness. I mean, I guess she doesn't have to eat the hot dogs, but yeah, I just think it's funny. It's just funny. But anyway.
The guy like tries to, I guess, shuts her up by telling her that she should be the boss.
Yep.
But that's only because things kind of go crazy because we find out that the production crew is actually being produced by the mob, or at least the wife of the head of the mob. And she is played by Ginger Lynn, like you talked about, who, you know, comes in with like a bodyguard who's just a guy in glasses, sunglasses.
Can we talk about her name? Dominica Stromboli.
Yeah, yeah. How could we forget that? Every time they have to say Miss Stromboli, it made me laugh.
Dominica Stromboli is her name in this movie. It could not be more ridiculous.
Gino!
Oh, Donna Stromboli!
You little bastard!
Cut! Oh, gross. I want you to meet Dominica Stromboli. Her and her husband are putting up the money for this little video masterpiece.
But she has... So, I guess she's the financial backer of this. And her daughter, she's insisting that her daughter, Isabella, be put in the workout video. So her daughter shows up. She's got really beautiful, long black hair. And I think she's pretty.
Yeah, I do too.
She's
got the one, like, I said it, like Amy Winehouse.
Yeah, she kind of...
Not the bad... When she was like the bad parts.
Yeah, she's pretty. She has those piercings and stuff. It just doesn't go with the time frame. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so she's put in this video and she befriends Phoebe and they become like buddies.
Kind of. It's like what happens is they put her in, oh, you're going to be in the video. And the guy has to go out. I don't even know why he has to leave, the production guy. He's got to leave for something. And he tells that she wants to sleep with the director, who it turns out to be a gay man and doesn't find her attractive, of course. But he's like, if you want to be a director, you got to do anything she says, but don't let her husband find out because he'll kill you. So he like goes in there, and this is one of those movies that the rooms are only like maybe three rooms next to each other, and people disappear for a while, and then they cut to them like it has just started.
Yep.
With those characters. They do that a lot. But the whole main cast, because they virtually shut down the directing for some strange reason to do whatever, the guy has to go out and puts this girl in charge. And
Phoebe,
and then the whole crew decide to watch Candy's horror movie, which is next level. I don't even know what the hell is going on.
Candy is a horror actress. She's trying to be a horror actress, so that's why she wants to be in this video.
Yeah, she says that her big break is this horror movie, but then her big break is also being in this exercise video. Yeah. It's bizarre. And then when she puts on the video, of course it pisses off the girl who doesn't want to be a part of it. You know, she wants everybody to get back to work and she wants to be the boss.
Yeah, Marsha Brady.
They don't care. They keep watching it. And this video that we watch is just about 15 scenes of people just getting stabbed over and over and over again. And it's like I guess the director filmed every friend he has getting stabbed as a joke.
Where is Joey at? God, he brings me all the way out here and then he runs off doing God knows what. My skin's so cold out here.
Yeah.
And they just do it over and over and over. And it is like, again, this is where it's like, is this funny? Is this not? I don't know what this is. But we keep watching it. The one girl yells at everybody. And they all basically tell her off. And she leaves. So that makes the mob girl go sit with her. And they become a little bit of friends. And he basically tells her to stand up for herself.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, Candy and Chuck... Candy asked Chuck to go in a room with him. And now this is one of the best scenes, maybe. The best acting scenes I've ever seen in my life.
This is actually my favorite scene in the movie.
This is up there with the best acting you've ever seen in my life. When you think best actors and you go, oh, you know, Joaquin Phoenix, you think any of those people? No. Candy. Okay? This scene is next level, that it had me laughing out loud. Because it did not stop, and it was very funny. I don't care what anybody says. This is funny. She wants to have sex with Chuck. Now, Chuck basically references the fact that, you know, he keeps wanting to sleep with these women. But then when it comes down to it, he's like, no, I can't sleep with women. Like, because he's like, I want to be in the union.
He wants to be... Whatever filmmaker's union he's referring to, he yes. wants to be in that union. And he wants to take his job very seriously and not fraternize with the girls because he wants to be a real filmmaker. So she literally lifts up her teeny tiny white t-shirt to reveal these ginormous breasts, okay? And she just starts screaming, touch me, touch my boobs, touch my titties, touch my titties.
They go on, it goes on,
it goes on for 20 minutes.
But the way that the actress is doing it is so funny, and it only keeps escalating because it starts off small, where she explains the breasts. Like, she's like, oh, look at these things, they're velvety, they're milky gray, pale, and oh, she keeps going on, and he's covering his eyes, he refuses to look.
Because I'm a filmmaker.
No,
you're not. Why don't you just touch my tits like everybody else does, Chuck?
Yeah, well, maybe those people aren't about to join the union, Candy, but I am, okay?
What union? I think that's fake, and I think you're making it up. Look at my tits.
Oh, my God.
Look at them.
Put your boobs away.
I would never put my boobs away.
You're going to put your boobs away.
Oh, yes. They are so warm. Can't you just feel the heat coming off of them?
Yes, I can, but that's not the point. If somebody comes in here right now and sees this, I am never going to get...
Look at them.
No.
Everybody wants to look at them, Chuck.
They are not going to let me in the union.
Oh, yeah, they will.
No, they won't.
They're soft.
No.
And velvety.
I bet they are.
And milky pale.
Holy shit.
And plump.
Wow. You know what else is plump?
What?
Those fucking union paychecks.
So what is this? Are you seriously not going to look at my tits?
I'm so sorry. I'm sure... Your tits are really luscious.
They're really, really good.
I am not gonna ever look at your tits until they're on the big screen in a movie that I directed.
Don't you wanna see these big, juicy melons?
Nope.
Are you on drugs? Just put your hands on my tits like a normal man.
The only thing that's gonna bang is the sound of a slate when I'm making my movie. Get out of my office!
Are you stupid, you fucking asshole? Look at my tits! Look at them!
And he runs out of the room like a baby.
You're totally skipping over the best freaking line in the movie.
Hasn't happened yet. It's with the other girl.
No.
The girl comes in.
Oh my God. Oh, so he runs out.
He runs out and she comes in the room. And it escalates because...
Now, when you say she, it is Phoebe, Marsha Brady.
Yeah, okay. The whoever. Yeah, the mousy one comes in and she's like...
You need to get back to work or else.
Or else what? What are you going to do, you little twerp? Are you going to hit me? You're just jealous of me because I'm hot. Do I make you uncomfortable? Huh?
And she starts, she takes them out again. And she starts smacking them on the girl. And she says,
am I putting you in a weird position right now?
Candy, please pull your shirt back down.
You little weirdo, just
you're
looking at them.
You're being very unprofessional.
Look at my tits, you fucking dummy.
I will not look at your breasts.
Oh no, you're gonna look at them.
No, I won't.
Oh, absolutely you are, because you're a little weirdo and I've been noticing you looking at me anyways.
Candy, this is so unprofessional.
You haven't even seen unprofessional yet. I'm gonna get really close to you and
Candy,
just put,
stop!
I'm gonna wipe my sweat at you,
Candy,
fucking
stop!
Weirdo.
Look at my breasts. Look at them.
You are not doing it any justice at all.
I don't want to scream into the mic like you.
Look at my titties. Look at my titties. I paid for these titties. Look at them. I want someone to look at them.
But the way that they're shooting her face is like the camera's on her face and she's like berating the camera. And it is next level insane. She's like, you're gonna look at my titties. Right? It's and she is smacking this girl with her boobs and she's like screaming no, and just think about it, this girl looks like a swizzle stick between this girl's boobs.
It's like literal assault with
it
boobs.
Is assault with boobs, and she is somebody will touch my boobs, and it is incredibly insane.
I paid for these tits and somebody's gonna look at them and it's gonna be you fucking bitch. Look at my tits!
And it is so insane that it drives the main girl insane, and she ends up stabbing her to death with scissors.
Now, okay, this scene, I was like, all right, what is this movie turning into? Because first we see the two not cops choke out this random girl in the shower.
Yeah.
And now we have a new killer.
Well, what I liked was, this is where I went, okay, that was clever to make the final girl the actual killer and make her just going crazy. And the way you're making her go crazy is because of boobs.
Yes.
This is kind of a funny joke on horror movies. And it is crazy. And I love it. And I wish the whole movie was this.
I was kind of bummed. I was like, oh, damn, Candy left the movie.
But things still progressively get more bizarre, like them having to hide the body and cover it up and say that a random person came in and killed her. And even though the main girl is covered in blood and she's like, I don't know what happened. They're like, well, let's call my father's goons and they can hide the body.
So Ginger Lynn has, you know, the sunglasses at night guy come in and take the body out.
Yeah.
And that's just one.
And so, yeah. And what I love about this is now that she's missing, and it's funny because a lot of them think that, you know, they all know that she get murdered, but nobody leaves. Everybody's just like, oh, even Chuck goes, oh my God, this is probably all my fault. I knew my like stunning looks would get someone killed sooner or later. And now Chuck knows that one of the women are missing and they need a new lead. So he suggests himself as the new dancer.
Oh my God. Okay.
And all of a sudden he walks through a doorway and is now in like the whole workout gear. Even no cup.
Okay.
No cup.
I'm telling you.
Just his little dingle just flapping, and to the point where the actor actually has to try to fluff it back out, which made me laugh my ass off.
I felt so bad for him because as I used to dance and I used to wear those stupid leotards all the time, and they hurt. They are not comfortable at all. For a woman, I don't have a package down there. I can't imagine if you had like a huge sack just being scrunched in. Like that, with this tiny little G-string going up there. I felt so bad for him. I'm like, you know what? He better be the highest paid person in this movie. Because that was just brutal to put him in this outfit.
He's pretty much carrying the movie at this point.
He really is.
It is another funny, insane. And all I kept thinking was, this reminds me a lot of Trauma in its heyday. Like when it was good.
Yeah.
When Trauma knew what they were doing, it feels like that. And
yeah.
It was kind of like, you know what? I'm on board.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on board for this part because this is so insane, this first half,
mm-hmm.
that I kind of gonna give them credit. This is actually funnier than it should be.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, as the movie goes on, it starts losing that steam very quickly.
It does.
Things start getting a little tired. Especially when the sex becomes more of a prominent part. Like, Ginger Lynn is trying to have sex with the director, and it is a sex scene. Like, her coming on to him, and it's not funny.
It's not
funny. It's trying to be.
It's not sexy. It's not any of the things that it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
It's actually terrible lighting.
Yeah.
And, it's kind of goofy and unnecessary completely, but she's the mob boss's wife, and what she wants. So she wants to have sex with this guy, but it just seems so needless in there. It's like, okay, it was one of those situations where, okay, we know she's an ex-porn star and she doesn't mind being naked. So let's just go there and make her get naked. You know, it was like gratuitous. It wasn't necessary.
I couldn't believe they actually they got her naked. I was a little shocked by it. I was like, this is unnecessary. It doesn't really need to be happening. It doesn't take
much because she's very free with her body and she doesn't care.
That's fine. That's fine. I was like, does this really need to be in this movie right now? Like, this is coming out of nowhere. I guess the new joke is that now that the main girl, our now killer, is kind of like, I really want to be in charge of this movie. You know, mm-hmm. I want to be in the head, but I don't look as good as the other girls. And the other girls are all like trying to now take the other girl's spot.
Yep. Instead of running out of the building because someone's dead.
Yeah. They're all like, yeah, okay,
they're
whatever.
Fine. They're fine with it.
And they're like, well, doesn't that mean one of us is the killer? And they're all like, yeah, moving on. It's like, okay, this is kind of silly enough to be stupid fun.
Stupid fun.
But the fun part becomes like, oh, they give her a makeover, which we saw coming. And she gets a makeover, and she comes out really weird.
Strange. Kind of made her look worse. Like, it was supposed to make her look, I guess, more like hotter or more beautiful, but I don't think it did. They gave her...
She has less clothes on, is all, I guess, is important.
Yeah, they gave her this, like, these tiny little shorts, these, like, silvery kind of
suspenders,
like red suspender shorts, and they were, like, up there.
Yeah.
And she just, it didn't look right on the actress. It just didn't at all.
But she does do cocaine for the first time because she is told that that's what her president would want her to do. And she's like, Ronald Reagan? Yep, that's Ronald Reagan is all about drugs.
Yeah, you know, because, you know, Nancy Reagan's old say no to drugs.
So she does cocaine and she doesn't just do cocaine. She takes the entire bag. She's supposed to take like the bump on the girl's finger, but she takes the whole bag and shoves it in her face. And she does it all. And then she goes insane.
Insane.
So it progressively, it gets crazier and crazier because she starts doing the workout video. And she does just an entire montage of insanity. But she decides that, I don't like some of these women. There's too many women in the shot. So she now takes the wrestler girl, the one in the bikini, into the back and says that aerobics are more important and more athletic than wrestling or something. And the girl goes and fights her and they wrestle a little bit. And she breaks her arm because of the cocaine, I guess.
Yeah, it seems like she's at octave 11 when it comes to strength because she's on coke. But she wants this girl out of the picture because she wants to be the star of the aerobics video. Now, mind you, we're already down a girl, but she wants to be the star. So she has this rumble tumble fight with her and breaks her neck with a chair. And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So she's a full on murderer.
Yeah.
Marsha Brady. Okay. Full on. She started out as the wholesome one. And I thought she was going to be the one that survives all this and kick ass and stuff. The film went the completely opposite way, which I thought was fun.
Yeah, it was. It just keeps going. But I guess the next step is like, oh, now we're going to go film without that woman. Everybody's like, oh, there's another dead girl. So let's get rid of her body. And then they'd film. And now I guess the thing turns out that you got to do a private session with the photographer to get on the cover of the tape. So, which means that the girls are going to like throw themselves at him a little bit. And she's offended. Our lead, our murderer, is now offended by it. So she goes in there to talk to him one-on-one. And he's like, well, what are you going to do for it? And she hits him with what I guess is I don't know what it was, a lens or a pipe?
Okay,
I couldn't tell.
It looked like a leg, like a wooden leg of a chair that she sticks through his eyeball. And she kills him. And I thought the gore was pretty funny. I mean, it looked like ketchup, but it was...
Yeah, it shoots all over his face.
It was funny. So that's three people she has killed now.
Well, she runs... The girl, one of the other girls sees this and runs out into the street to stop a car. And the acting is so hilariously bad. And she waves at, and it just so happens to be the two killer cops.
Yes.
And now this is where the movie just dives. This is where it just
takes a huge shit.
Huge shit because it becomes a little too serious.
It does. Like, I like the slapsticky ridiculousness of it in the first, like, half of it. And now we're just like, all right, so we're going to bring back these two cops that killed that busty girl in the beginning. Why? I mean, we're having so much fun already. It's like, we already forgot about them. It's like, why are you rehashing this plot?
Yeah. And that's what, like, kind of sucks is they come in and it just is scene after scene of them torturing the women, being, like, sexual and abusive. Yeah. And there are scenes like a guy sucks on the girl's toes and it just goes on and on. And I was actually like, okay, now I'm done. And especially with Tubi commercials, this was like, oh, forget about it.
Yeah.
Not even worth
it. It was agonizing. Yeah. Because we were like, all right, we got to scooch this along.
And this comes into what I was talking about. This is the clash of tones because that first half is so much fun and is so silly and maybe has a little more of a clever idea than it should.
Yeah.
About the girl actually becoming a killer because she was a goody two shoes and she's like, now I'm mad at everybody because they're bad people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a kind of funny twist. And when I was expecting the two killers to come involved, I thought, oh, she's going to kill them. Like, there's no problem.
Right.
You know, oh, you're stopping me from doing what I need to do or kind of a thing.
Well, she was instead, already
instead, it just
hyped
goes
up.
On and on and on.
She was on coke, so she was already, like, jacked up and stuff. And I was thinking, okay, she's going to take out these two fuckers. Like, this is going to be amazing. She's going to be, like, the hero. But that's not what happened. No.
And instead, like, they kind of, like, fight back and kill off the guys one by one. And I guess the best death here, which is also something we should talk about, is that the one of the two cops, he actually gets stopped by Chuck, who pretends to be Jason with a chainsaw.
Mm-hmm.
And his chainsaw doesn't work, so the guy brings him outside and goes to kill him on the floor. And before he can kill him, our lead actress murderer character has cut his fingers off in the air with a chainsaw. And then chainsaws his head. And his head turns into a mannequin head that is, I guess the people involved didn't know which head it was going to be of which actor, because it looks like a cross between the two.
It does.
It looks like the one actor who is dying, but it has the hair of the other actor.
Yeah, like the one who looks like Louis Guzman.
Yeah.
And he was like spliced with the actor it was supposed to be.
Like he doesn't have black hair. Now he has black hair.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny anyways. It's just a chainsaw mannequin head that just goes on and shoots everywhere. And it's funny. It's kind of funny. And the best part is the mobster's like, wow, you're pretty badass. You want to join our family? And she's like, hell yeah.
So what is she going to be? A freaking assassin?
I guess so.
I mean, it was pretty, I like the whole, like, you know, the wholesome girl is the one that you have to look out for, because she literally killed how many? Four people. She killed Candy. She killed a wrestler. She killed the guy with the freaking wooden thing through the eyeball. And then she killed the bad guy at the end.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and she's maybe what, 5'3", tiny little unsuspecting thing. So I thought that was funny how they made her, you know, the badass.
No, it was like there was a good idea that actually shouldn't have happened that actually turned into a funny opening.
Yeah.
And then the movie just completely loses itself, gets too serious, gets a little too high on itself. And it goes on and on and becomes some kind of invasion film, like a home invasion film or whatever, a survival film. And it's like, this isn't what it was. This isn't the fun part. So it just doesn't even matter. Like, you're left with this sour taste, like, oh God, I'm bored.
I was, but I was happy that Chuck didn't die.
Yeah, you were very worried about Chuck.
I was worried about Chuck because he was hands down the best character in the movie. And I know, see, you have like this tiny budget, $10,000, that's nothing.
Nothing.
You got nothing. I think he did good, this husband and wife team. I think that they did okay for making a low budget movie. I mean, it was ridiculous and it was gratuitous and silly, but I did laugh because there were scenes that I couldn't even believe what I was seeing. So I had to laugh. It was just too funny. I was like, wait a minute. I know her acting is, she's not supposed to be acting like this. Like it was a parody. It was just all like an homage to like 80s slashers, but it was a bit over the top and gratuitous.
Yeah.
But I mean, for $10,000, it's
no, not I'm impressed. It was like, you know, they worked hard. They got these actors together. I'm guessing that's who they paid. I'm guessing that's how much it probably cost. They probably already had a camera. They probably had some stuff. And they got their friends. And then they got these actresses to do the movie. And they probably didn't give them much. Hey, you want to hang out for a day, do this fun thing.
Right.
And you know what? For that, I give them credit. But it doesn't mean it's a good movie.
No, it's not a good movie at all. No. I don't even think it's so bad it's good. It's just not a good movie.
No, it's not good.
But, you know, everything about the directing was not great. It was, the lighting was off. It looked like and felt like it was shot on a cell phone. It was very amateur. But you know what?
Everybody has to learn.
Everyone starts somewhere. I mean, look at Troma. They started somewhere. I mean,
we're also living in a day and age where people's like home videos, the movies that they make at home, like we all did that when we were kids. But the difference is now with streaming, everybody gets their movies released.
Mm-hmm.
You can put any movie up on Tubi now. You can put any movie up on Amazon Prime. You can put any movie on YouTube. Everybody can see it. I don't know if that's always necessarily good. These might be fun little test movies. This one is definitely, I don't know how his other, if their other films are, these two directors. But this movie does have enough where I can see why it got released.
Yeah.
But it's still a low budget test movie. It's not like a full fledged movie. I feel like this was like a shorter idea that got turned into a full movie. And they didn't know how to really do the second half of it. And so it kind of suffers. But like I said, everybody gets to see everybody's movie now.
Yeah.
You know, too bad this probably could have been funny as short movie at a film festival, like a lot of the horror conventions we go to and stuff like that. I'm surprised something like this wasn't on the Joe Bob Jamboree.
That's true.
Because, but the movies that he did have at the Jamboree, not Mutilator 2. That's another conversation. But the other two films looked really, really good on low budgets.
I mean, they did, you know.
I was actually shocked. I liked one a lot. I was very shocked by it.
You can make a decent movie with a tiny budget. I mean, look at Blair Witch. They had $60,000 budget and it became a freaking phenomenon.
Of course. And that's the point. And this movie is better than Mutilator 2. So,
I mean, yikes, but
it is. It is. And it's like, this is more fun. And it's funny because Ginger Lynn was even there. And this is something that she did. Yeah. So it's kind of odd that this wasn't at that film festival. But
Did it come out before or after we went to the Jamboree?
It came out in July, I believe. Oh. We were there in October. But yeah, I think this would have played bigger in that audience.
I think so,
you know,
too.
So I give them credit. They're definitely, you know what? I love that anybody's out there making their movie. You know?
Oh, 100%.
But we are here and we dump on films. So what are we giving this out of 10?
Oh, good Lord. All right. Well, I'm going to say why I'm going to give this a 2. It's a 2. And the only reason it gets a 2 is for 2 reasons. Chuck and Candy.
They're soft and velvety.
I bet they are.
And milky pale.
Holy shit.
And plump.
You know what else is plump?
What?
Those fucking union paychecks.
So what is this? Are you seriously not gonna look at my tits?
I'm so sorry. I'm sure your tits are really luscious.
They're really, really good.
I am not gonna ever look at your tits until they're on the big screen in a movie that I directed.
Don't you wanna see these big, juicy melons?
Nope.
And that's it. There's nothing else that I could say. There's no good filmmaking, no good acting. There was no good plot. There was really nothing.
I can't say that there was like no good filmmaking. It not once did I go, you know, did I see a mic or I didn't. There was a lot. We've seen movies, like really popular movies, that have so many technical issues. I didn't catch one. And we didn't even mention, we were talking about the sticker on his shirt. One of the scenes had the sticker be ripped off and shoved on the guy's head. So I was like, okay.
No, it was on the girl's breasts.
Oh, because remember? She was riding him and then it stuck on, and then she stuck it on his face.
Yeah.
Or stuck it back on his chest. Like, and I was like, okay, they're that's the kind of clever stuff that didn't need to be there, but them referencing, okay, here's a thing that we can make fun of ourselves with. So I kind of thought that was clever. And it's stuff like that, I was like, that's clever.
I mean, there was some clever stuff in there. There was. But as far as the lighting and the sound, you can hear that there was an echo, like they were in an empty place. Conference room. I was like, oh, come on, you know, like you can do better than this, I think.
It's tough. Even us recording this, it's tough to always not get that echo. And
true.
Stuff.
I mean, true. We have technical difficulties all the time.
It's a tough thing to pull off.
And I give it to them. I give them all the credit in the world for trying to make a movie. And we love these kind of low budget movies. We love them. And I 100% support the fact that they actually tried to make a movie.
Yeah. I'm going above you and I'm going to give it 3.
Okay.
I'm going to give it a pass. There was enough here. I have seen much, much worse.
You know, we actually have seen much worse. So I don't know. I think maybe you're talking me into a 3 also. Yeah. I think I might change mine to a 3. But there are some people out there that, you know, have terrible ideas on how to review a movie. And that brings us to our segment of Why We Can't Have Nice Things, where I'll give you 2 extremes of online reviews. A 1-star review and a 10-star review. And it'll just go to show you how people who review movies on the internet just screw everything up for the rest of us because they don't know how to review movies. So here's the thing. I'm going to start with a 1-star review on this. And this one's called Objectively Terrible. I thought we stopped making nonsense like this in the 80s. Murder Size seems to have been made in backlots and unused offices by wannabe porn stars playing dress-up and pretend. Everything, and I do mean everything, is awful. The acting, awful. Direction, awful. Plot, awful. It seems very much like a film made during COVID, and that's not a compliment. I usually don't like to give 1-star ratings to movies anymore because it takes a lot of effort to get an indie film made these days. But in this case, I will make an exception. It has a depressingly cheap and sleazy feel through the whole thing. That is a 1-star review.
It's ouch.
It's kind of harsh.
I get a lot of it, but it's intense.
I mean, I get a lot of what they're saying. There is sort of a sleazy feel to it.
That's what it was supposed to be. Yes. Yeah.
So then we have this person. I don't know if this is a joke review or someone who worked on the movie, but I'm just going to read it because it's annoying. All right. This is a 10 out of 10 fabulous 80s throwback. From the fabulously demented mind and talents of the fine folks behind Slasherette Party comes this fun and hilarious callback to 80s slashers and aerobics, featuring some of the best and hardest working indie horror comedy actresses and actors in a story that may actually surprise you with a twist or two. Scream Queen fans won't want to miss August Kiss, Jessa Flux, and the simply sublime Kansas Bowling, along with the legendary Ginger Lynn and a bevy of other awesome ladies. And of course, the ever awesome Drew Maverick. If you enjoyed 80s classics like Death Spa, don't wait. Watch this tonight. That's a bit extra.
I see that kind of stuff all the time, and I get it. It's like, in the horror community, if you would say anything negative about certain things, there's people who don't even like mainstream horror. They like indie horror.
Yeah.
And these are the things that they love. They want to be a part of it. Like, mm-hmm. And it's not for me. It's like we like all movies. We watch all movies. So there is a difference between the two. And I think that you have to separate it. For the people who like indie horror movies and these cheap, low budget, like, and people making the scene and going around and trying to meet these women and meet these people and trying to be in the movies with them and kind of stuff like that, this isn't the worst. I've seen like some movies that are, like I said, to me, like Gutterballs was way worse.
That was just terrible.
It was unnecessary. Like, the movie just couldn't, it wouldn't, I think there was like a the idea that cruelty is fun sometimes. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of that, but I do think if you're going to like one of these indie films and like compliment, some of these actresses were very funny.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, he's got a point, but to give it a 10 is like the extreme of fandom.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It is kind of like why we can't have nice things. I mean, it really does just nail that idea. And I'm all for, if this is your jam, that's your jam, cool. But you know it's not perfect. Mm-hmm. You know this isn't the best thing ever made. So it's like going online just to write a review and say this is the best thing ever. You either come off as one, an extreme fan of somebody in it, or a family member, or a person who worked on the movie. And it's like, I feel like you're kind of being unjust. Like, you know, it just comes off kind of, it's just odd. But I see this so much, and I hear this so much that, at this point, it's like, how do I even take it? You know what I mean? Like, you know, you're just kind of like, yeah, okay. You know, I mean, I don't know.
But, there was some redeeming things about this. It wasn't the biggest piece of shit we've ever seen.
No.
It wasn't. I mean, we've seen bad stuff. We talk about it all the time. But, I don't know. I mean, would you watch this again?
No.
No.
No. I'm probably going to have to, because I'm probably going to edit this and put some clips in. But so that usually makes me watch everything a second time or a third time, which is sometimes weird because my opinions change as I see more things or plot lines we didn't really understand come out and go, oh, it was there, mm-hmm. you know, and it kind of makes my viewpoints change.
I don't think that your viewpoint's going to change on this one.
No, it might make me hate it more, actually, is what I was getting at.
Yeah.
So you never know.
I don't know. I'm teetering on my three still. I don't know how I'm giving I feel it about three. It.
There's enough here that's at least kind of fun. Kind of silly fun in a weird way.
I guess. Yeah, I mean, it was. There was some fun stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. That first part clicked with the whole candy stuff was so insane that I was like, okay, this is funny, and this actress yeah. is being, she knows exactly how to play this.
Well, yeah, joke. we're going from one extreme to the other next week when we watch Perfect.
Yes,
from the 80s with Jamie Lee Curtis and John Travolta, which we have never seen.
Yeah, I had never seen it. I thought you had.
I mean, I did. I think maybe parts of it when I was younger, but I don't recall at all. I just remember the trailer of the movie with Jamie Lee gyrating.
I'm guessing that next week we're only going to be talking about the bodies of our two main cast members.
Yep. Yep. So we're going from, you know, these
kind of funny.
These low budget actresses to Jamie Lee Curtis, who is an Academy Award winner, and John Travolta, who is a legend in his own right.
Yeah.
This is going to be very interesting. I can't wait.
Yeah. All right, everybody. So thank you so much for listening. Beck, we're mad at you for this one. No, not really. I don't care. Thank you for the suggestion. I love any suggestion. And I would love to hear everybody's opinions. If they actually checked this out and they saw this, and just hit us up online on Instagram at Just Another Movie Night and Joe at The Crafty Misfit. We'd love to hear all your thoughts and opinions and or suggestions. Please, please. Even if it's a theme for a month, we love to hear it. We love to hear any ideas, anything. Love it. Thank you for listening, and you know what, like it, share, tell people about our show. It would really help us out, and we would appreciate you. So until next time, have a good one. Bye.
Look at my tits, you fucking dummy.
I will not look at your breasts.
Oh no, you're gonna look at them.
No, I won't.
Oh, absolutely you are, because you're a little weirdo, and I've been noticing you looking at me anyways.
Candy, this is so unprofessional. You haven't even seen unprofessional yet. I'm gonna get really close to you and just
Candy, stop!
I'm gonna wipe my sweat off you, you fucking weirdo.
I paid for these tits, and somebody's gonna look at them, and it's gonna be you, you fucking bitch. Look at my tits.
You're just jealous of me because I have tits.
Candy, stop!
You don't want to touch them.
Stop! Stop! I don't want to see. Stop! Look at him!
What the hell are you doing? This hand in the red. Holy jumping Jesus! What the fuck happened?
I don't really know. Candy went to go get a drink and we fucking found her like this.
Oh, sweet baby. Jesus! Oh, Candy. Oh, she didn't deserve that. Yes, she was a nice piece of ass.